it's done.
Connor McDavid! It's not real!
The goal of the year?
Panarin!
Part of the past. The celebrations? Forgotten. The history?
Vegas Golden Knights!
History. We're back to a blank slate. Clean ice. All that matters now is what happens next. The Stanley Cup Playoffs.
Eastern Conference Final begins Wednesday.
What do you think about the Laker team now?
You follow the box scores of the games every day. Just the Lakers.
You're kidding. That is really a compliment. I was pleased to see you smile at the top of our show, because once the game starts, you have a game face. You don't smile much out there.
I don't think you have to do things for money anymore.
Correct.
What's up, Laker fans? Welcome to the Laker Film Room Podcast. I'm Pete, joined by Darius and Mike. And we got an early one. We were just talking about it. We got the Dallas Mavericks at 5:30 Pacific time, 2 hours earlier than normal tonight. So everyone adjust your schedules accordingly. But in today's pod, we're going to zoom out and get a look at the lay of the land in the Western Conference. And Mike, it's a pretty jam-packed West. Lakers stand at the 10th seed right now, 9 games back of first place, but 4 games out of the number 5 seed. And so when you look at this crazy Western Conference, Mike, what do you see?
Well, first, Pete, I feel like a kid whose dad just let him have a donut for breakfast and then, you know, like a Mountain Dew with lunch and some ice cream after dinner, all the desserts that I want. You're letting me go through the Western Conference today. I'm very excited to look at the schedule here.
Yes, yes.
It's kind of broken down into tiers already, and I think the Lakers are in the wrong one in terms of what their ultimate upside slash like playoff potential is. And like, so the distinction points are the top four, which is Minnesota, OKC, Denver, and the Clippers. And the Clippers and the Nuggets have 14 losses apiece. That's 3 fewer than the next tier, which is Dallas, New Orleans, and Sacramento. Sacramento blew a ridiculous lead in the fourth quarter
crazy
to Phoenix. And yeah, so we were watching that one. And then you have Utah and the Lakers with the Rockets kind of just behind there. And then, I mean, man, I don't even know if Golden State is still in that tier, but I guess we will give it because Steph is still there. They've been really nasty lately, 3 out of their last 10. And, you know, the Lakers in terms of had they figured out the rotation and the 9 guys that they're playing right now a little earlier, maybe that's the difference between them being in that, you know, the Dallas, New Orleans, Sacramento that I mentioned, that kind of 5-7. And Darius, all of this just becomes significant as you think about the play-in and the difference between being in the 9-10 or in the 7-8 or in that 5-6, which is at worst, right, where everybody wants to be. And as we take a look at what's coming up, I just think it's not too early to start forecasting how this could play out. And I think that every time the Lakers step foot on the court, which is a little bit like last year, you're starting to get to that point where, you know, these games, the added significance to what that could mean ultimately is there. So as that's a generalization. I want to get a little bit closer, but what stands out to you when you look up at those Western Conference standings right now?
I chuckled to myself, Mike, because you said, I think the Lakers are in the wrong tier. The Lakers probably feel they're in the wrong tier, but they're in the tier where they belong based off of how they've played of late. Mm-hmm. I think it's super interesting because I continue to believe that the Lakers, there's a much better team in here somewhere than what they've played. But at some point, they actually have to show that they're that team. I listen to a lot of national pods, and the Suns have been given a certain amount of built-in respect for what they can be. While I don't necessarily think the Lakers have been given that same respect nationally, amongst this group, we feel like they could still do something. And so,
every time you talk to them, every single one of them is still very confident in the talent that they have.
I think they should be, but believing and doing are two different things.
Yeah, you're 20 and 21 for a reason. You could, can be better, and there are routes to that, but our record is what it is.
Exactly. And so I think the tiers that Mike broke down are absolutely correct. One of the reasons why I was interested in talking about this in particular is because of the Jazz, really, like the Western Conference in general and the Lakers position. Because earlier in the season, Pete, Mike had sent us a text And it was after the Lakers had blasted the Jazz as part of the in-season tournament, right? It was a regular season game, but it was an in-season tournament game. And the Lakers just absolutely blasted them. I think they won by 30 or 33 points or something ridiculous. And Mike, I don't want to be revealing state secrets here, but I think the wording of your text to us was the seriousness. The seriousness of the Jazz from last season is gone. They are no longer competing at the level that they competed last year. And that was pretty.
Do you remember the term that Will Hardy used?
What was it?
I'm going to have to look it up now, but it was like, it was a masterpiece of dog shit, I think.
Oh, yeah.
Or something like that.
Yes. Yes.
I may have gotten that partly wrong. Was that what it was? Yeah. Okay.
I think that was
masterpiece of dog shit. Yeah, that's where I was getting at. It's like, yes, they were, and Markkanen was out, and they hadn't yet found the groups, and then all of a sudden Hardy figured it out.
Yes, and so, and that all of the sudden we figured it out thing is, I think, what all of us are looking for from the Lakers. I was listening to Zach Lowe's pod yesterday, and he had mentioned that the Jazz are 14-5 in the games in like their last 19 games, or the games that since Colin Sexton was inserted into the starting lineup, and they've made some lineup changes, that the Jazz are 14-5, like in their last 19 games. And you know what the Lakers need, Pete? Is they need a 19 or 20 game stretch where they are 15-5 or 16-4 or even 13-7. Like, they need to make a push here. And I think within the context of the Western Conference, tonight they play the Mavs, who are above them in the standings and who have been playing well, even though they've had a ton of injuries and a bunch of different lineup issues. And they could have easily fallen back on some of the, I don't want to say excuses, but the contextual explanations for playing poorly, and they just haven't. They've been playing really well. And so I'm trying to figure out how the Lakers can maneuver within this Western Conference and start to climb up the standings in a place, because they certainly don't want to be in 10th, Pete. Like, they don't even want to be in 9th. I think they want to be in a position where if they're going to be in the play-in at all, that it's in 7th or 8th, because last year they made their run out of 7th, which I think is the best position to be in, obviously, because you host a game. But it's just like, they have to start showing it soon.
For sure. And I think that these next 8 games, they've got 8 games left in January. And if you look at them, there are a couple of tough ones, but it's a winnable schedule, right? There are winnable games in that stretch. And so their ability to produce 5-6 wins over the next 8, I think, is going to be really important if they want to get to that point. It is a little bit one step at a time, D. I think that we got to the right 9, at least in terms of the available healthy guys, with the last game against OKC. Certainly skeptical about their rebounding with the new group, Mike. But I do think that 5-6 seed is still within reach. That's something that I don't think the Lakers will be able to break into the top 4. But I do think there's plenty of opportunity to be able to get into that spot, Mike. And so a lot of the work from now through the end of January, both process-wise and result-wise, that to me is one of the big things, Mike, is that the process, especially with the offense, I've seen some encouraging stuff lately, and obviously the lineup change as well. I think we need a little bit more on that front, but certainly making progress. By the end of January, I think we're going to have a much clearer picture of where we're at.
A couple things that you guys just hit on. And first, Darius, you mentioned the Lakers sort of are where they are record-wise, and no doubt. And when I was laying out what the tiers were, that was in order of the standings. But the reason I think that the Lakers have this confidence, set aside last year in the Western Conference Finals push, is that they've beaten Oklahoma City twice, right? OKC is second. Minnesota, they almost beat when LeBron was out and then had another close game. But I don't think that they got in the court with the Timberwolves, who are in the one seed right now, and were like, oh, we can't beat this team. They beat the Clippers. The one team that they have not beaten is the Nuggets. Now, they, of course, have not played them since the season opener, but lost all 4 games last year. And so I think Denver sort of should be in their own area for the Lakers, just because that's not a mountain that they've conquered, Jokic Mountain, just yet. But, and of course, you mentioned that we all think about the in-season tournament where they ramped it up. And then the reason why the record is where it is because of all the nights where they've either, you know, the style has not been correct and the rotation's been off, and LeBron, you know, in year 21, and these things that have made the Lakers where they are at 20 and 21. And that's where now that they're midway through the season exactly, what does the second half actually look like? Like, what can they become a more consistent team, even if the injuries continue, which they very well might. The injuries have not gone away any of the previous how many seasons? There have always been some level of that there. And so where does that have them stand with some of these teams that the top four are pretty consistent, but Dallas, New Orleans, Sacramento, I think that there are some potential there for some slippage between one of those teams, but the Lakers can't really just count on that. And that's kind of where I'm interested to see, like, if there's a team that one of you sees within these tiers as a riser, as a faller, and like where that opportunity could lie, Pete, for example, to get into that 5-6 tier. Like, who do you not believe in, I suppose, is the way I would phrase it, other than Phoenix, who I know you don't believe in, in the Western Conference. So let's take a break. And when we get back, I want you to hit me with the team.
So one of my goals right now is to eat better, but in the thick of the NBA season, that can be hard to do. So I recently joined Factor, and Factor is America's number one ready-to-eat meal delivery service to help me do that. They can help you fuel up fast for breakfast, lunch, and dinner with chef-prepared, dietitian-approved, ready-to-eat meals delivered straight to your door. You'll save time, eat well, and stay on track for your healthy lifestyle. Choose from 35-plus weekly, flavor-packed, fresh and never-frozen meals that support a healthy lifestyle and meet your meal preferences, all delivered right to your door and ready to eat in 2 minutes. And you can enjoy the extra convenience at any time of day with an assortment of 45-plus add-ons to suit various preferences and tastes. Head to factormeals.com/LakerFilm50 and use code LakerFilm50, all one word, to get 50% off. That's code LakerFilm50 at factormeals.com/LakerFilm50 to get 50% off. Yeah, so Phoenix is certainly there, but they're going to win a certain amount of regular season games. But I think they'll be hovering around this 6-7-8 type of area for a minute. Utah, as plucky as they are, I think that there is certainly a ceiling there. I don't think that there is a perpetual 15-4 stretch going forward. And then, Mike, this will put a smile on your face. The Kings have some they've had a couple of blown leads. They should have two more wins than they do. And watching them fall apart against Phoenix, they put KD at the five. Phoenix did. They were down 14 with a couple minutes left, and they started switching everything. And Sacramento got so discombobulated. And it's funny, Eddie Johnson, the old bench scorer from the Houston Rockets and then Phoenix Suns, is their color commentator now. And I'm telling you, the whole game, he was like, get this under 10, put pressure on these dudes. These guys fold when you put a little bit of pressure on them. And I'm telling you, the whole game, he was the one guy, they have a three-man booth there, that was like, you put pressure on them, they're going to crack. And it was exactly what happened. Shout out to Eddie Johnson, great forward scorer D from back in our childhood. But those are the teams that come to mind for me, D. I think that Dallas is always a Luka injury away, and now he's been upgraded to questionable for this Lakers game because, sure, of course, they're always a Luka injury away from dire straits. But I think you could say that about the Lakers and several other teams where it's one guy goes down. And that's probably what I think ends up determining it, D, in terms of who rises and falls. I think the injuries on some level are going to write that story.
Yeah, it's interesting, though, Pete, because Luka has been down the last few games and the Mavs have kept on trucking. They've got a Luka insurance policy to a certain extent. If Kyrie Irving is going to be the player that can get you 35 or 40 points and do it on good efficiency, and then you've got like all of these sort of shooting role player guys who are stepping in and just like, I'm playing with confidence and hitting shots. And the Lakers fell victim to that the last time they played the Mavs, right? It's just like, oh, here's Dante Exum and Grant Williams just stepping into open threes, and they're confident. And they're making those shots. And now it's Josh Green who's doing that as well. He hit a big bucket the other night when I was watching a Mavs game. It's just like, oh, man, these dudes, they just have that feeling to them. And the team I would actually look at is New Orleans to a certain extent, because when we talk about the injury stuff, they've got a better baseline of like, oh, they've got three guys. But when one of those three is out, it starts to get trickier for them to continue to maintain. And I'll be interested to see if they are, and they're also a team though that, like, we haven't talked about this a bunch, but we're now within a month of like when the trade deadline is going to happen. And now basically everyone in the league is trade eligible now. And New Orleans is one of those lurking teams that has a ton of assets, most of them like Lakers assets, right? Like, they've still got that Lakers pick that is out there. And they've got other draft picks from the Drew Holiday trade, I believe, like the original ones. And so they've got assets out there, including all of their own picks. And so they're also a team that could sneakily be like a buyer at the deadline in order to get reinforcements. That said, if one of Ingram or McCollum or Zion goes down, and particularly I think Ingram is important here as well, and he's had a history of missing chunks of time with random things that happen. So I think all of those teams that are in that middle patch, they're all like an injury away. For some reason, the Mavs have been very resilient to those things, though. And so I don't know if we should put them to the side or not, because, Mike, they've continued to win, even though they've had... I heard Tim McMahon talking about this, but I think over their 41 or 42 games, they've had 23 different starting lineups already. It's been an insane number of lineup changes with them, and they've just continued to truck on. So do you separate them out from this pack? Like, in the inverse of the question that you asked, like, who don't you like? Who do you like to continue to sort of stay within this realm and solidify themselves as a group, as like separating themselves within this tier?
It's a good way to word the question. I think that out of that group, I probably like New Orleans the most. And it surprises me a little bit because Luka's been amazing this year. I think that's been the biggest reason. And Kyrie has been better, a lot better than he was last year. Very consistent. He seems to be, I was listening to that same pod with McMahon talking about it. And when I was in Dallas, talked to some people about it, like Kyrie has been on best behavior, and you're not hearing any of the type of stuff that you were hearing in Brooklyn. And that seems to be helping a lot. For Dallas, though, they're right now, they're 24-17. So they're, you know, that's a good little lead, but the Lakers play them tonight. And, you know, depending on if you listen to this pod before or after the game, this is when things like this make a big difference. So just even that three games behind is different from four games behind. And you start to get to the point where the Lakers were last year in about like two and a half weeks, like in February. And then you can kind of see the finish line to an extent, which I think is important for somebody like LeBron, where, okay, if we win this amount of games, then we will be in this position. If we don't, then not. And that, I think, brings enough of that extra juice for the Lakers to have a better record overall. And so let's save that for the next break, though. And I'll get back to what you said about Dallas. So what is Dallas's ceiling? I don't think that they're big men, although, you know, Lively has been excellent for a rookie. I think that's where they fall a little bit short in terms of like an ultimate run. To me, they're in a playoff series. They have to rely upon him and essentially Grant Williams. Like, Maxi Kleber's back and he's okay, but there just isn't a lot of pop there. You know, there's not a lot of juice. And I think that you can kind of you can scheme enough to wear Luka down like over the course of a series. So I don't consider them quite in that same tier as the top four for that reason. Sacramento, Pete already discussed like what their weaknesses are. I've been talking about it for a while. And I just don't think that that's a team that is particularly scary in a series. And, you know, Phoenix, they have their clear flaws, although they're going to keep winning a lot more games. And like, so there's a reason they're there. New Orleans, though, like when they've been healthy, they have a lot of size. They have a lot of depth. They can go away from Valanciunas lineups now if Nance is actually healthy and play smaller. They have these big wings. They can shoot at least well enough. So they're a team, I think, that is made to win a lot of regular season games. The wild card there, of course, is that Zion has been healthy for almost the whole season after not being healthy at all for the last three. And I think at this point, he's been healthy enough to assume health for him in the ways that we're assuming health for some of these other stars, and not just assume that he's going to be off the floor. And Pete, in that case, like that to me is, I think New Orleans is a more complete team in that sense than Dallas.
And I think that's one of the great storylines in the West over the beginning portion of the season is several players who have been touch and go in terms of availability for games have been available. You mentioned Kyrie as one, Kawhi and PG the Clippers have been. Anthony Davis has played the vast
LeBron
majority.
James and Anthony Davis.
LeBron James and Anthony Davis, right? This is a good thing. Zion Williamson.
Yes, Steph has been healthy all year.
Yeah. Great thing for the NBA, and let's hope that they can continue that toward the second part of the season. I think that it's funny, Mike, New Orleans, my first instinct with them is they're one guy away, and it's not like a guy, you know, $30 million player, just like another role player. But I think that could describe probably 8 to 10 teams. I'm really curious about the trade deadline and that there's about 8 to 10 teams where I'm like, oh, if they could get this type of player, and it's a different type of player for each team, I think that they'd really be in business. And so I think that this could flip quite a bit from now until the trade deadline. It's also, to me, two very distinctive conversations of what would they be in a playoff series versus what is the regular season grind, you know, going from now until the end of the regular season. So let's take another break. And when we get back, let's keep going on it.
Okay, so true story. I was scared to try tampons because I didn't know if they'd be able to protect like pads. Took me a few tries, but once inserted properly, tampons shouldn't hurt. If you feel it, it's not in far enough. Believe me, it changed my life. Like pads, tampons offer up to 100% leak-free protection, whether you're on the go or chilling at home. Now, I do and wear whatever I want on my period, thanks to the freedom and flexibility I get with adding Tampax to my routine. Learn more at Tampax.com.
With Memorial Day savings at the Home Depot, you can upgrade your home with up to $2,400 off select kitchen packages from top brands like Maytag. Enhance your kitchen with the exclusive Maytag French door refrigerator and fingerprint-resistant stainless steel, only at the Home Depot. And with dual power filtration on the Maytag tall tub dishwasher, you can skip soaking and scrubbing. Right now, get Memorial Day savings up to $2,400 off select kitchen packages at the Home Depot. How doers get more done. Pricing valid May 16th through June 5th. U.S. only. See store online for details.
So to that point, Dee, there are two teams in the West that I think are legitimately better than the Lakers, and Denver and the Clippers. I also really like how we match up with the Clippers. Derek Fisher was talking about this in the postgame show last time we played them, and he gave some of the reasons why. But that is a very different thing than getting through the 82, of which we're having some issues, and I don't think we're anywhere close to being optimized, although this is the first time in a bit I felt like, okay, we're a little more on track at the very least. But that to me is one of the things that stands out, D, is the top the nature of the regular season has changed in a way where nowadays it's a lot of times, Mike, it's that team that has a lot of guys in their 20s that is good for sure, but that's the Minnesota, the OKC. They're not the first teams that come to mind in terms of can they win a championship. However, I think you could find a lot of conversations at this point last year saying the same things about Denver. And yeah, Denver might be the best team in the league and they're winning all these games, but you know, they're not in the upper tier until they actually did it. And so I'm curious your thoughts on that, Mike, is that idea of the regular season is different than I think it was even 10 years ago. And so the purpose of it, I think, is different for different teams. So how do you evaluate that in all your years of standings watching? I feel like it's changed a bit.
I think it's changed a lot. I really do. It used to be that if you weren't the one or the two or the three, because you know, most teams just treated the regular season a little bit more, I don't want to say more seriously, but it was just there was a rhythm to how the season went. And if you got kind of down in the standings, it usually there was a reason for it. I don't know if it's that the best teams were that much better, but like we think about those Warriors teams and they were certainly always up in that like one seed, you know, type of range. And when OKC still had Durant and like the Kobe and Powell and Lamar Lakers and like the teams that usually got out of the West, and we could do the same argument about the East, where there was usually a reason for that. And now, yes, Denver was the one seed last year. Okay. And so that's something that we should keep in mind. Like it still does help. And there was a reason for that. And Jokic was a real serious customer last year, an increase from the previous one. But the Lakers doing what they did out of the play-in, and then the Heat doing what they did, I think that other teams around the league watch that, and there's almost like a mental adjustment there to be thinking, okay, well, instead of just focusing on the regular season wins in the context of, you just mentioned Minnesota and OKC and the hunger and the youth and the health. It's, we got to stay enough in this mix and optimize our health almost to a point to be able to make a run. And that can still happen now out of the play-in. And I think that's a mindset and an adjustment that's happening around the league. So from the Lakers standpoint now, looking up at the top four, it's almost, instead of worrying so much about that seed, I think you almost look at what the best matchup is out of the top four, you know? And so in some cases, what's the difference between being the 7 and the 8? Well, the difference is you have to play a second play-in game, and that's a big deal. Yeah. So to me, like, the 7 is prioritized, even if it's Denver instead of like OKC or Minnesota, just because if you have to play that second game, how much of a disadvantage you're in for game one going against that top seed. So that's one part of this. Then the next part is, okay, getting up to the 6, like, in the difference between playing, we don't know if it's going to be OKC or is it going to be Denver, it's going to be Minnesota, the Clip. Like, Darius, how much does that matter relative to just avoiding the play-in? And I guess what I'm saying is the play-in is what has changed. Not just the fact that you can get in if you're you're the 11 or 10 seed, you can make a run late and try to get through it. But it just is the Mendoza line for where you're trying to get to has adjusted. And that, to me, is just a big of a factor of anything else in this.
Yeah, I think the matchups matter as much as ever, and that teams are looking at it and framing things that way. I'm old enough to remember Dikembe Mutombo holding that ball on the ground as a member of the Denver Nuggets and celebrating.
Who's the coach of the other team?
Oh, was that George Karl?
That was George Karl, defeated? Wasn't it?
Oh, yes. Yes. George Karl.
Famous
yes.
playoff choker, George Karl.
Yes, yes. A lot of losses. A lot of losses for George Karl.
A lot of really bad performances in crunch situations where they didn't have any answers. A lot of underachieving teams and disappointments. And
George Karl is one of those guys that I feel like came from UNC but doesn't have the pedigree, but enjoys the fruits
benefits
of that.
Yes.
Good old George Karl, the guy who decided to keep on doubling Kobe Bryant as he just passed and passed and passed to open guys and lost.
A lot of good memories. The 94, what year was it? The 94 year where we beat them in the playoffs, beat the Sonics. That's an underrated like playoff victory for the Lakers.
Yes.
Because that was not a team where the Lakers were expected to like go to the finals or anything like that. This is pre-Shaq. But remember that crossover on Gary Payton out in open space, right? Van Exel, Dustin GP. And
I was going to the two, one of my favorite Kobe games ever. And I think Darius was just hinting at parts of it, but game 6. In 2009.
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh,
yes.
Denver. Yeah. Yep.
Yes. Yes.
A lot of good George Karl memories. Anyway.
Yes. Yeah. Anthony Carter, one of my favorite inbound passers ever. Slob superstar George Karl, the guy
who didn't have the best agent, though, Anthony Carter.
Oh, man. I digress. I don't even know where I was going now. Oh.
Sorry. I heard. I thought of George Karl and I blacked out for a moment. Yeah. Yeah.
I'm back. I remember Mutombo clutching that ball because it used to be so rare that a lower seed would beat a top seed.
That was the first time an 8 ever beat a 1. Yep.
And then it's like, remember in 99, the lockout season, the Knicks, they made the finals as an 8 seed. That was like the birth of the Ewing theory, because Ewing had been hurt. And then they make their run with like, Marcus Camby.
Right.
But over the years, this has happened more and more and more. And I think over the last 3 or 4 years where you see, Mike, the Lakers advance to the conference finals or give top teams trouble, the Warriors advance as a 6 seed, the Heat doing what they have done, there is this idea that you can make your run from anywhere. I'd still prefer to be the number two
none
seed.
None of those actually won the chip, though, right? The only real example of that is the 95 Houston Rockets from the 6 seed. But they were a defending champ, Mike. They're like that to me. Yeah, you can make a run at it and all this cute stuff. But to me, you got to be a good team that attacks the regular season and usually ranks high if you want to win at all.
That remains true. That remains true for sure. And just go back and look at the champs and see what seed they were. And what seed were the Lakers when they won in the bubble? You know, they were the 1 seed, right? What seed were the Bucks the next year? So it's that still is more often than not the case. But I think that 2 things. One, the talent is better in the league, and there's just more. there's more talent. So that's to me is part of the reason why you have seeds that are a little bit lower. Is there that much right now? Is there that much of a difference, right, between like OKC and the Lakers in terms of the 2 seed and the 10 seed? And the Lakers have beat them twice. And OKC is clearly a more consistent team. The style that they play, all that. Mm-hmm. But how many of us are going to, if they were going to match up right now, I think a lot of people would pick the Lakers. You know, maybe the majority would still pick the Thunder, but it's not crazy to think LeBron, AD, OKC doesn't have the bigs. They just don't. Like, AD is going to go right into Chet's chest. And like, so that's part of this as well. So the other thing I want to get comment back to you, Darius, though, was the matchups. Like, I think that teams absolutely think, oh, let's try to play this team instead of that team. But it almost never is something you can control completely until the last day of the season. And then even if, okay, if we win, we play the 2 seed instead of the 3 seed. Well, that could flip. You know, the 2 seed and the 3 seed could flip because someone else could tank that. So I don't think teams think about the matchups, but they know they can't control them. So they think, let me try and get to that one spot higher, typically, unless it's all laid out for the last day, Pete, for a team to like tank in and try to get karma that way.
And honestly, yeah, that's the thing about the karma. I have a very esoteric view on this is don't try to game the basketball gods, D.
Just the basketball
win your games,
gods.
Put out your guy. What was the thing the Clippers did a couple years ago? It was like the Daniel Oturu game. He had 19 shots.
It was the Clippers at the Thunder. Yes. And both teams were desperately trying to lose. And the Clippers kept going to Oturu and he kept delivering. And meanwhile, Poku was doing the tank the other way. I was watching that game with full glee. You know, that was ridiculous. And the basketball guys got him.
Yeah, neither of them won shit, right? And so that, to me, you don't mess with that, D. And so what I always talk about the Peloton, right? In the Tour de France and in cycling, there's that big group of cyclists that kind of stay together and draft off of each other. I think that, especially for the older teams, that I think that's probably a generous description of the Lakers season of, oh, they're just hanging back in the pack. I think it's true on some level, but I think there are legit issues.
No, the Lakers got a flat tire and then they tried to put their wheel back on and they put the wrong screw and then their wheel fell off. And now they're like, the bike is finally looking like it's back together again, and they're going to have to go on a bit of a sprint here. Mm-hmm. And within the context of the Western Conference, these packs have separated themselves. They are up there. And the Lakers are going to have to decide, and I don't even think it's really a decision. The Lakers are going to have to push here. And they're going to have to push, and I don't know how much they can actually say we're going to hold something back in reserve, because if we get to the place that we want to get to, we'll need that reserve in order for that next kick. And this is the circumstance that they're in now. They're halfway through the season, and the finish line is on the horizon now. Those, you don't hear Darvin talking about it's a marathon and anymore, because the race is half over. And so, who knows, maybe he'll say that quote again tonight and I'll be wrong. But it's just like, there's only so much time left. And the Lakers aren't quite to the point where they were after the trade deadline last season, Mike, where there's 20 some odd games left and they're still in 10th. And it's just like, okay, well, we're only 3.5 back. Let's go on our push. They're what, 7 back now? Like 7 back in the loss column of that group that's at number 4 or whatever.
Yep.
That's probably too far, but in their heads, they have to be thinking, well, do we have a 15-5 run in us? Because I think that, I remember Dennis said this last season, we have calculated it out, and you got to love Dennis for basically just like spilling all the beans from all the locker room talk.
Our best insider. Sorry, Mike.
Yeah, anytime you need a LeBron update. Yeah, exactly. Go to Dennis. Not me. Right? Go to Dennis.
Yeah.
but it was like, he was just like, yeah, over our last 20 something games, we need to go 18-7 or we've gamed it out. And they basically missed that mark by just a single game. And that single game was the difference between them being 6th or 7th. And so it's super funny that's how it broke, but they have to, I think we're at the point of the season now where even if they're not going to say it publicly, internally, there have to be conversations about what is our target
for these final 41 games. And gaming out the schedule, this is a super important part of things. And I think it does start tonight against the Mavs. They are up there in the standings above the Lakers. And anytime you can chip away at a team that's above you, they have to get these wins.
Yeah, I think the time that this it becomes where you can't hide from that anymore 100% is after the All-Star break. And I think there are certain vets, especially, that'll look at it like that. But of course, Darius, you're right. Like the math is the same either way. Like if this Dallas loss would count, if they were to lose this game, like it would hit in a way that they then just can't make up for after the All-Star break, even if they convince themselves that they can. But Pete, where I want to turn it back to, and I just to be consistent, because I feel like I'm doing this all the time, LeBron and year 21, before the season started, we looked at the roster and we thought there's a chance here that the Lakers can be in a different position this season than they were last year. Continuity, right? All of this stuff. And they can be in that conversation for the top four. And that's what's looking like is not going to be the case. Now, barring some unforeseen run and a couple of teams collapsing, it's going to be very difficult for the Lakers to get in that spot. And so I'm very curious what the approach is. And if LeBron had 100 fastballs in like 2015, and he could hit 101 on the gun every single night. And now how many nights can he hit 101? Is it 40? Is it 50? Is it 60? Is it 70? You know, what is that number? And how many of those are going to have to be used between now and the end of the regular season in order to keep the Lakers in a certain position out of which they can't climb out? And I still think, Pete, that there's some room there. Like I still think there's some room, but the unfortunate part for me is that there's not going to be the room now where like he's going to have a couple of weeks in March and April, you know, where he can take the foot fully off the pedal, not fully, somewhat off the pedal in order to conserve some for a playoff push. And that to me would be where the concern level is at the Lakers being 20 and 21, as opposed to, you know, 24 and 17, even in the inverse of where Dallas is right now.
Oh, absolutely. And the Lakers being in this spot to me is just, it's indicative of the first half of the season was a failure on a lot of fronts. It's not irredeemable. It's not that's one of the great things about the length of the regular season is, and how many teams make the playoffs is you get a lot of chances to get everything on track. But the Lakers are going to have to win some games. There isn't that degree of cushion. There isn't likely to be that stretch in April where it's like, oh, let's shut down LeBron for a week before the playoffs to get him right. There's a good chance we're probably going to need to win those games, D. And so we have a chance, certainly, and we've shown an ability to beat some of the better teams more and more. That Clippers win looks really good. They're a team that's playing great basketball, and seeing us beat the Clippers and OKC, those are things to build off of. But we've got kind of time is running out, and I think this end stretch of January is the easiest it's going to be to have a shoot around, to have, you know, some of that building cohesion aside from just games that you were talking about in yesterday's pod, that we've got eight more games of that. And so that's why I think this end part of January is going to tell so much about where we're going.
It's a critical part of things, man. And honestly, as we get closer to the trade deadline, we'll start to even have more conversations about like whether or not this last stretch of the month is going to inform how the team feels about itself going into the trade deadline. And there's so much more team building conversation to have within the context of that, not only for the Lakers, but around the league. And these teams who look at a championship as their goal, and the Lakers being in 10th and the Suns being in 9th or 8th or wherever they are a part of that, where it's just like their sights are set on that. And you can look around the league, Mike, and it's just like, okay, Minnesota thinks that, Denver thinks that, all these OKC, who knows where their mind is at around that. And then all of those Eastern teams that think that too, right? Whether it's Boston and Philly, right? Like Milwaukee, there's 8 teams that probably feel like that's our ultimate goal. And you could maybe sweep a couple of other more in there that feel like, well, hey, that would be nice to get to the finish line. And how do they start to reshape their roster? And this is a critical stretch, not just for the Lakers, but for a bunch of teams, but especially for the Lakers because of where they are in the standings.
just to get through January, I think the Lakers have a really good chance of winning 6 of 8. Now that could change on any time the injury report gets updated, right? All of these things. This is why I hate looking that far ahead. But this is a stretch of winnable games where the Lakers are likely going to, or right now they've got 9 guys like in a rotation that seem to fit. Most of these games are at home, so that's the short term thing. If you ask LeBron, he's only thinking about Dallas, but. If they can get to that 6 of 8, then they're 3 games over 500, and it just looks a lot different from what things looked like even a week ago. So important to embrace this current moment and try to get to that spot.
Really important game tonight on that front. This is one of the bigger swing games, I think, of that group of 8. So that'll determine, I think, if the Lakers can get to that 6 out of 8 type of marker. And I'm totally with you on that being the goal, is going 6-2 to end January. Very curious to see how the Lakers defend Luka Doncic if he plays and Kyrie Irving tonight. Lakers, a big part of the story right now is the Lakers' defense and ability to defend on the perimeter while also being big enough to rebound.
At least Exum's not playing.
That's right. That's right. And so, hopefully another role player does not step up to fill his shoes, but we certainly know that there's a long history of that.
Did he hit 6 threes or 7 threes, Darius? You probably looked up. It was
he hit all
7.
Of them.
7 for 9.
He hit all of them. The spirit of JJ Barea imbued him with superpowers against the Lakers.
He was 7 for 9. Grant Williams was 5 for 7, and Tim Hardaway Jr. was 5 for 10. Now the Hardaway
and
Jr.
Hardaway is on a heater.
Yeah,
yes. Hardaway is on a heater still.
So yeah. Dallas is a team that has sent us to some insane places defensively. They were the group that had the Austin at the 5 group because we gave up a 51-point third quarter against them. So I think the defense is going to be
– is the one thing that helps a little bit, Pete, because he missed
huge,
that game.
Yes. Vando was huge in that victory in Dallas last year down the stretch. He's one of the guys that has the size and quickness to bother Luka, and there are very few of those guys in the league. Luka's obviously going to get his wins if he plays, but great to have Vando back. We will be back tomorrow to discuss how it went. But until then, you've been listening to Laker Film Room Podcast. We'll catch you guys next time.
Baines has got it in low to McHale. McHale wants to turn. He's double teamed. Just pass out of front. Broken up by Worthy. Tip to Magic. Worthy dies on his belly. Magic scores.
And Magic got it. Magic fires. It's good. The Lakers win the game. The Lakers win the game.
Rebound to Vlade. 3 seconds left. Van Exel to win it. It's on the way. Done.
Kobe Bryant. 48 points. 16 rebounds. Shaq with his 8th block. An NBA Finals record.
A lot of Laker fans sticking around for this.
You're seeing something that's very rare indeed. A Laker to get MVP chance
right, in Boston.
In Boston.
Of all places.
Are you kidding me?
Kobe. Hard to believe.
Are you kidding me? Unreal. Are you kidding me?
Lakers looking to push. Bryant spinning in the lane. Back for Gasol. Freddie pass. And it's back to a 3-point game.
Kobe Bryant picked up by Bell.
There's the move. 2-1.
Miss it.
Unbelievable. For the victory. It's over.
Shot clock now to 5. Bryant. Yes. And that was a little tough to Alvin Gentry.
Add insult to injury, Kobe. I mean, what a shot. I mean, you can't defend that. Are you kidding me?
2.1 seconds remaining. Denver a foul to give. Jokic. Trying to disrupt Rondo. He puts it in. Here's Davis. 4-3 in the win. Oh, it's good. Anthony Davis has won it for the Lakers. James again. Oh, he hits another one. LeBron James putting together a closing quarter against the Nuggets.
This historic 2020 NBA championship belongs to the Los Angeles Lakers. The Lakers conquer the bubble, and banner number 17 will soon hang in the rafters.
Everyone is talking about magnesium. It's all you hear about. But why? What do we know about magnesium? Well, magnesium is the number one mineral that 75% of Americans are deficient in. If you are a woman over 35, magnesium will help you rediscover balance, energy, and vitality. Magnesium supports more than 300 enzymatic reactions in your body, including those involved in hormonal balance. From functional medicine doctors to mental well-being and female hormone experts, we all know that magnesium is the one mineral to improve all aspects of well-being and health. But which one? Magnesium Breakthrough from Bioptimizers, the trusted choice recommended by leading experts, with 7 best-absorbed forms of magnesium to ensure your body receives the support it needs for overall well-being. Go to bioptimizers.com/balance today and use code BALANCE10 for 10% off. Support your journey to wellness at bioptimizers.com/balance. Magnesium Breakthrough from Bioptimizers, your foundation to optimal health and vitality.